Today's reading is in Matthew chapter 24, starting in verse 36. Matthew chapter 24, verse 36. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not expect. Who then is the faithful and the wise servant, whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is the servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that wicked servant says to himself, my servant is delayed, and begins to beat his fellow servants, and eats and drinks with drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces, and put him with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So I really think there's a contrast in this chapter, and yesterday's reading, we saw that he was telling them there were certain things that were going to happen, and don't let those things unsettle you. But when you see this, then you need to flee because, well, that was the coming destruction of Jerusalem, and they didn't want to be there at that time. He was warning his disciples, his followers. But now in this section, he says there's another day to think about, and that day there's not going to be warnings, and only the Father knows when it's going to happen. And he uses this idea of a thief in the night. Thieves tend to want a crime of opportunity. In other words, you leave something out, nobody's looking, I'm going to grab it. That kind of an idea. So they want the least resistance. So a thief is going to try to plan coming to your house and breaking in at a time when you're gone or you're sleeping or something along those lines. But Jesus says, if you knew when they were coming, you would take away the opportunity, wouldn't you? You would stand guard for your house and prevent them from stealing things. The problem is, thieves don't make appointments. They don't tell you when they're coming. They want to catch you by surprise. He says, that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father only. And he uses Noah as an example. Remember, Noah is told to build an ark. God regretted that he had made man and he was going to wipe out their wickedness from the earth. Wickedness and evil was all they thought of continually. But it was Noah and his family, eight souls, that were saved from that because Noah found favor in the eyes of God. But he spent a long time building that ark, and nobody really took it seriously. He says they were eating and drinking and making merry all the way up until Noah and his family went into the ark. Remember, the animals go in, the family goes in, God shuts the door, and that's when the floods began to come. Verse 39, he says, they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. There's always been some discussion about whether Jesus shifts at this point in the chapter to talk about the end of time, or if he was talking still about the destruction of Jerusalem. I'm not going to really try to address that. What I want us to think about is that from our perspective, the way we need to apply this is of the end time, of the day of judgment. The destruction of Jerusalem has long since gone. That doesn't apply to us. So we need to take it as it does apply, and that is that we don't know when our last day on this earth is going to be. Whether we're talking about coronavirus, we're talking car accident, we're talking some other frailty of the human flesh, we just don't know when our end is going to come. For the Christian, though, there's no need to, well, for one, fret over it, because if we are living a life that is in accordance with the will of God, then we should have complete confidence in our salvation, not be worrying all the time about when the end will be. But second of all, I can be prepared. I can be prepared. I can be that master that is faithful and is wise, and he's waiting for his master to come. I can be ready so that even, you know, if it's something that's sudden and my end comes, it really doesn't make any difference because I'm ready. As we've mentioned a few times in the last couple of weeks, Paul's attitude, to live is Christ, to die is gain. The Christian should be looking forward to the day in which judgment comes. Not to say that, you know, we don't take advantage of the moments in this life, nor to say that we do not enjoy the blessings that we have in this life. I think that Solomon makes it pretty clear in Ecclesiastes that we should take enjoyment in those things that are wholesome and righteous and, you know, the sweat of our brow type of things. You know, God gave us blessings to enjoy. But at the same time, we should be looking forward to that moment when we go home as well. I'm reminded of 2 Peter chapter 3, when Peter said, "I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandments of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. Knowing this, first of all, the scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, 'Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation.' For they deliberately overlook this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God, that by the means of these the world then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." And then Peter uses this same figure about the thief. "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God?" That's the attitude we need to have, waiting for and hastening the coming day of God, ready to greet the Lord, ready to accept him as servant receives his master. And that's what we need to think about today. Am I serving God today faithfully? Have I set aside my own desires in order to do the will of God? Thank you for listening today. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.